We now join CBS, CBS Radio.
This is Neil Strauser, CBS New York. Frank Mankiewicz, new secretary to Senator Kennedy, is making a statement in Los Angeles.
Senator Robert Francis Kennedy died at 1:44 a.m. today, June 6, 1968. With Senator Kennedy, at the time of his death, were his wife, Ethel, his sisters, Mrs. Stephen Smith, and Mrs. Patricia Lawford, brother-in-law, Mr. Stephen Smith, and his sister-in-law, Mrs. John F. Kennedy. He was 42 years old.
Well, there is nothing more to say, really. Senator Kennedy died at 1:44 this evening. About 14 minutes ago, Los Angeles. You heard it. This was waited for this evening. I suppose all of us carry from this final day a kind of irony, our own irony. And if it would be permitted, the one that keeps coming back is a song fest on the 727 press plane that Senator Kennedy chartered for his campaign, which we all call the Mother Bird. It was 2.5 weeks ago at 4 o'clock in the morning, returning from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon, singing Baptist hymns, which Senator Kennedy seemed to know very well. And then he asked for the song he always asked for. The words were, "Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. When will they ever learn?" This is John Hart in Los Angeles.
There are really no words to express this moment. There were tears in the eyes of Frank Mankiewicz, the longtime aide to Senator Robert Kennedy, when he made the announcement. It's been a long night of waiting at Good Samaritan Hospital. The vigil outside, perhaps 1,000 persons had gathered to wait the word. All day yesterday, the medical reports had grown more pessimistic as more information became clear on the nature of the wounds that Senator Robert Kennedy had suffered at that moment of triumph at 17 minutes past midnight Pacific Daylight Time yesterday morning, when those pistol bullets were fired in the hotel kitchen. As you know, a suspect has been arrested, identified as Suran Suran, a former resident of Jordan who came to this country 11 years ago. Senator Robert Kennedy, dead at 1:44 this morning. That's Pacific Daylight Time.
In the next hour or two, the body of Senator Kennedy will be taken from this hospital, driven out to the Los Angeles International Airport. Indications were that the body then would be flown immediately back to Washington, D.C. Throughout this campaign, which began...
This is Roger Mudd in Los Angeles outside the hospital.
...aboard an American Airlines chartered jet, which is still out at the airport, presumably being made ready to take the body back. Either that plan or perhaps a government plane furnished by the president or the vice president would carry the body and the family back to Washington on the trip so similar to the one from Dallas. There will be, obviously... group of reporters following the plane back. We don't know details of just when the departure will be from the hospital, but obviously they don't want to linger much longer in Los Angeles. Earlier today, the Kennedy children had returned here within the last 4 or 5 hours after having flown back yesterday to Virginia, to Hickory Hill, the Kennedy home near the Potomac River. They were back today. As Mr. Mankiewicz said, who has maintained incredible control of himself without sleep now for 24 hours, with the senator at the time of his death were his two sisters, Mrs. Pat Lawford, Mrs. Stephen Smith, his brother-in-law, Steve Smith, and his sister-in-law, Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy. Mr. Mankiewicz did not mention the presence of Ted Kennedy, although he has been in the hospital most of the day. There really is nothing more to add other than the stark statement of Mr. Mankiewicz, except this, that except for being president of the United States, Robert Kennedy has now gone through and has suffered everything that John Kennedy suffered. It was a therapy that seemed the most extreme that any man could go through for a revered brother. Roger Mudd at the Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles.
And so, Robert Kennedy, at the age of 42, he would have been 43 in November. Robert Kennedy is dead. He's gone the same way his brother did, by the assassin's bullet. There are those now who remember that Robert Kennedy always sensed it might come that way someday, those who are looking back. He would tell friends, "I play Russian roulette every time I get up in the morning. But I just don't care," he said at one point. "There's nothing I could do about it anyway." Kennedy had been described as a fatalist, one who never looked beyond the next moment and who was prepared for tragedy any day, and certainly he had already experienced much of it. The memory of a long, introspective, and rare conversation surfaced in the minds of a few who had heard it a short while ago. It came at a time when Kennedy was relaxing in the rear of the four-engine Lockheed Electra winging through the night sky on a campaign trip. It was taking him back to Hickory Hill after a rigorous week of Midwestern campaigning. And he spoke broodingly, gazing out at the stars and the lights of the towns below. Wasn't he concerned, he was asked, about the perils of such wild crowds as he had attracted that day and nearly every day of his presidential campaign? "No," Kennedy had replied, "I just don't worry about that. There's no sense in worrying about those things. If they want you, they can get you." Did he think someone would seek to harm him one day? He thought for perhaps 30 seconds and then said, "Well, let's not talk about that." Reporters, of course, thought of his brother, John F. Kennedy, of an older brother killed in wartime, of his wife's parents and his close friend, Dean Markham, who'd been killed in plane crashes. And someone raised the question, wouldn't it be a national crisis if one of his stature were to be harmed after the violence to his brother and to Martin Luther King, Jr.? Kennedy replied, "Perhaps it would, I suppose so, but what can I do about that?" Well, now Robert Kennedy is dead. The announcement came just a few moments ago. Frank Mankiewicz, the senator's press secretary, appeared in the newsroom at Good Samaritan Hospital. Said Robert Francis Kennedy died at 1:44 a.m. today. That's Pacific Daylight Time. At his bedside, his wife, Ethel Kennedy, Mrs. John F. Kennedy, the widow of the late president, the Stephen Smiths, his sister and brother-in-law. Outside Good Samaritan Hospital now, the crowds still wait, but now they know the answer. Of the others who were wounded in that wild shooting scene yesterday morning, the others are all in satisfactory condition. But the injuries suffered by Robert Kennedy were fatal, despite over 3 hours of brain surgery yesterday morning. Robert Kennedy died while trying to pick up the torch his older brother, John, had dropped when he was murdered in Dallas 4.5 years ago. He had, first with apparent reluctance and then with the gusto that typified the Kennedy clan, taken the mantle of leadership that came hand in hand with tragedy to the brood of Ambassador Joseph P. Kennedy. He followed both of his older brothers, Joe Jr. and John, to violent deaths. Joe in a World War II plane crash, and the late president, of course, in Dallas. And it was his duty, he felt, in the Kennedy scheme of things, to pick up where they left off. He would have been 43 years old on November 20th, the same age as his brother when he was elected president. Bobby had been a tough campaign manager for his brother. He played a key role in that election. And only, a couple of nights ago now, last night, at his California victory celebration, said he now realized just how valuable campaign aides were. Despite much critical comment about the Kennedys and their supposed divine right to the presidency, that's what some of the critics said, the senator in the 2.5 months as a presidential candidate made it clear he did not see the nation's highest office as inevitably his or his younger brother Ted's. Senator Edward Kennedy, the Democrat of Massachusetts, of course, is the youngest and only survivor of the four Kennedy sons. During his campaign, Robert Kennedy repeated over and over again that he believed the presidency should not be a matter of succession, but should be won by hard work and sacrifice. One of his hardest sacrifices came only 10 days ago when in the Oregon primary he suffered the first defeat in the Kennedy clan's 22-year string of the election campaigns. At his death, Robert Kennedy had been in public life for a decade and a half, gaining early recognition as a racket-busting chief counsel of the Senate Select Committee on Labor and Management Practices. His feud, some called it a vendetta, with Teamsters Chief James R. Hoffa, was one of the most celebrated in the history of the American labor movement. Hoffa, his prime target, often gave the young attorney a rough time from the witness stand. Hoffa's lawyer, Edward Bennett Williams, one of the nation's toughest criminal lawyers, tore him up, it was said. Impartial observers had sharply criticized Kennedy for supposedly abusing the constitutional rights of witnesses. Robert himself admitted in his book, The Enemy Within, that I do not know of any witness whose reputation was besmirched by our committee. An examination of some 14 million words of testimony shows no instance where the regular staff presented a case that was not fully and factually established and documented. After serving briefly with the Hoover Commission on Government Reorganization, Kennedy returned to the Senate Internal Government Operations Committee 8 months later as counsel for the Democratic members. Kennedy's appointment as Attorney General, of course, came after his brother's election in 1960. That brought another shower of criticism. President Kennedy, however, joked about that, saying, I can't see that it's wrong to give him a little legal experience before he goes out to practice law. From Attorney General on to Senator from New York, presidential candidate, and now, as presidential candidate on the heels of a California primary victory, Senator Robert Kennedy is dead at the age of 42 years.